This is Pastor Rick's Daily Hope, the audio broadcast ministry of Pastor Rick Warren. Today we begin a series called 40 Days in the Word. In these messages, Pastor Rick shares practical Bible study tools that will reignite your passion for God's Word and revolutionize your life as you grow closer to Jesus. First, we're excited to let you know that very generous friends of Daily Hope have stepped forward with a special $50,000 matching grant. That means any gift you give to help Daily Hope share God's Word with people everywhere will be doubled. So contact us right away. Go to PastorRick.com or text the word DAILY to 800-600-5004. Right now, here's Pastor Rick Warren with part one of a message called Building My Life on the Bible.
The next 6 weekends, we're going to look at a different aspect of the Bible. The first thing we're going to look at is the inspiration of the Bible. How can I trust the Bible? How do I know the Bible is true and that I can trust it for my life? Inspiration. Then week two, we're going to look at the foundation of the Bible. What is the purpose of the Bible? And we're going to get you to see the big picture of the scriptures. What is the overarching theme and what are the purposes of the Bible? You know, it's 66 books in one book, so it's really a library, but they all point to the same basic theme. Week three, we're going to look at the illumination of the Bible, and that is, how does God illuminate my mind so I can see what he wants me to see in the Bible? Sometimes you read a scripture and you can read it over and over and it doesn't seem to hit you. And then one day you read it and go, boom, wow, I've never seen that before. What happened? The Holy Spirit just illuminated your mind. And we're going to talk to you about how he does that and helps you see what he wants you to see out of the Word. Then week number four, we're going to look at interpretation, a very important week, and that is, how do I know what this verse means? Because a lot of times you hear people say, well, that's just your interpretation, as if everybody can have their own particular interpretation of a verse. Actually, there are correct ways to interpret the Bible, and there are incorrect ways. When you interpret it correctly, you get what God says. When you interpret it incorrectly, you become a cult. And you get all kinds of weird and wacky ideas. The Bible means what it means, and you have to understand these principles of interpretation. Then week number five, we're going to look at integration of the Bible, and that is, how do I put the Bible in every area of my life? How do I use the Bible at work? And how do I use it in my home? And how do I integrate it into my family life? And how do I integrate it into my finances and every different area, my past, my present, my future? Then finally, week six, we're going to look at the application of the Bible, and that is specifically how to use the Bible in specific ways, like how to use the Bible to make good decisions. We're going to look at that. How do you use the Bible to overcome temptation? Jesus ended the Sermon on the Mount, the most famous sermon in the Bible, by telling a story. And he says this. There was two guys who went out and they both built homes. And they built them on different foundations. One guy went out and built his house on solid rock, on that foundation. And the other guy went out and he built his house on sand. His foundation was sand. He said, then unexpected rogue winds came. The trials and the storms of life, and a tsunami hit those homes, and the winds came and the floods rose, and the winds beat against it and the rains came down, and the house that was built on the shifting foundation of sand collapsed. But the house that was built on solid rock was able to withstand the storms of life. Jesus says in this, after saying this story, he says this in Matthew 7:24. Everyone who hears these words of mine, that's the word of God, that's the Bible. Everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice, and we're going to teach you how to do that, is like that wise man who built his house on the rock. So this weekend, to start us off, before we get into 40 days, I want us to look at how do you do that? How do you build your life on the Bible? so that you're building on solid rock, so that when the storms and trials and difficulties of your life come, inevitably, that you'll be able to handle it. If you are not built on solid rock, on the foundation of something that doesn't shift, you're gonna crumble. You can't build your life on the opinions of others. You can't build your life on popular opinion. You can't build your life on culture. You must build it on unchanging truth. If you have a Bible, I want you to open to James chapter 1, the book of James chapter 1. We're going to look at verses 19 down to verse 25. And I want us, as we prepare for 40 days in the Word, to look at this subject on how do I build my life on the Bible? The answer to that is to look at the way that God wired you and shaped you. God gave you five senses: hear, smell, see, taste, and touch. Everything you know, everything you experience in life comes through one of those five senses. That's how you encounter life. And God wants you to learn to encounter the Bible with every one of your senses. We're going to look at this today. And these are all found in James chapter 1, verses 19 to 25. Now, if you're taking notes, the first way that I build my life on the Bible is this: I receive it with my ears. I receive it with my ears. We're talking about hearing the Bible, hearing the Word of God, hearing God speak to you. The Bible tells us in Romans 10:17, faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the Word of Christ. Every time you hear your pastor teach a message, you hear a Bible teacher, you hear a study on the radio, when you're hearing the Word, your faith is being built. You're doing this first one right now. You're listening to the Word of God being taught, and that builds your faith. Faith comes by hearing the message, and the message comes through the Word of Christ. Now let's look and see what James says about this. James chapter 1, verse 19. Everyone should be quick to listen. Circle that. Quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. For man's anger does not bring about the righteous life that God desires. Therefore, get rid of all moral filth and evil that is so prevalent, and humbly accept, circle that, accept the word planted in you, which can save you. It is the Word of God that saves us. If you don't hear the good news, you can't be saved. Now he says, be quick to listen. That's using my ears. And he says, accept the word. So in this passage, it's teaching us that I must receive it with my ears. Now this interesting word, accept the word in Greek, dekomai, literally is a hospitality term. It means to welcome a stranger. It means to welcome the word. We welcome you, Lord. We welcome your word. Come on in. I'm wide open. It is an attitude of acceptance. And if you're going to get the Bible in your life, you've got to start with, hey, I'm wide open. I got an attitude of acceptance. I welcome the word. I accept the word planted in me. Now, it says planted. It's interesting. Often through the Bible, the scripture is compared to a seed. And the seed is the Word of God, and the soil is our hearts. The parable of the sower that Jesus told teaches this story. And he says that receiving the Word is actually the seed being planted in your life. Now, I'm a gardener. In fact, you could call me a farmer because I garden massive scale. And what I do is I've learned that you can take the exact same seed and plant it in three different locations, and in one, you're going to get giant tomatoes, in another, you're going to get little tomatoes, in the other, you're not going to get anything. What's the difference? The difference is not the seed. The difference is the soil. The soil must be prepared for the seed. You got to mulch it. You got to break it up. You got to put some fertilizer in there, or maybe a little Miracle-Gro if you want to do that. You've got to get it. The soil has to be prepared. This is the same thing for you here to hear God. Your heart has to be prepared. You see, if you come to church and you've got up late and you rushed in and you couldn't find a parking spot and you were all frustrated and it was raining and you got in and you were just really in an irritating mood, and they sit down, okay, God, I'm ready for you to talk to me. You're not going to hear God's voice. You're not in a receptive mood. That's why you can take two people to church, sit them side by side, one will walk out and goes, man, that was powerful. That gave me a lot to think about. And the other person goes, I didn't get anything out of that. What's the difference? Heart preparation. Now, for good reception, this passage teaches you have to have four attitudes. Do you remember when televisions used to have antennas on them? And you would kind of move the antennas around to get good reception. We don't do that anymore. Now we do. Can you hear me now? Can you hear me now? Can you hear me now? Okay. And you're looking for good reception. In order for you to hear God now, you got to have good reception. And the Bible says that's a matter of your heart attitude. Write down these four attitudes. First, it says, I must be quiet. For good reception, to hear God speak to me, I've got to be quiet. It says, be quick to listen and slow to speak. Now, you know, Kay has told me many times, Rick, when you're talking, you're not listening. At least I think that's what she said. You got to be quiet. You can't hear God if you're talking. Okay, number two, I got to be calm. It says, and slow to become angry. Be quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to become angry. Now, why in the world is it talking about anger when it's talking about the Bible here? Because you don't hear much when you're angry. We don't hear much when we're upset. We can't really hear what somebody else is saying when we are irritated, when we're angry, when we're uptight. When you are emotionally upset, you're defensive. On the other hand, when you are emotionally relaxed, you're quiet and you're calm. You can really hear what the other person is saying. And the same thing is true in getting into the Bible. You've got to be quiet and you've got to be calm if you're going to let God speak to you in the Bible. You can't be, God, I got 5 minutes here. Talk to me really quick. I got to go. See you later. If you're frantic, you're not gonna hear God speak to you. The Bible says, be still and know that I am God. My translation of that is, sit down and shut up. Be quiet and be calm. By the way, I read this week that listening actually lowers your blood pressure and speaking raises your blood pressure. So if you need to lower your blood pressure, you ought to do a little bit more listening. I need to be calm and I need to be quiet. The third thing is I need to be clean. In other words, I can't have any junk in my life, any sin piled up, if I expect to hear God speak to me. The third thing he says is, get rid of all moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent. He's saying here, before you do the seeding, you got to do some weeding. In other words, when I go out to plant a garden, I don't just go out and start planting seeds. First thing, I break up the soil. I get out all the dirt clods. I eliminate all the rocks. I pull out all the weeds. I get that soil really ready so it's clean. It's not full of junk. And I get it all ready for the soil. And he says, get rid of two things. Get rid of filth and get rid of evil. That's interesting. This word filth in the Greek, riparion, you know what it is the word for? Earwax. That's the stuff on the end of that Q-tip. That's gross. He says, get rid of all the earwax. You know what he's saying here? The point is, I can't hear God if I got junk in my ear. I'm mentally blocked. I can't, you say, God never speaks to me. Well, you probably got earwax. Emotional, spiritual, mental, ethical earwax. You can't hear God because you got junk in your life. It plugs up the sound. He says, get rid of the filth, get rid of the evil, which is anything we know in our lives that is wrong. He says, you get rid of that before you come to me. Going back to this gardening thing, when I garden, I get dirty. I really actually like being in the mud. And I like getting muddy all over. And the crazy thing is after a day of you know, gardening and stuff like that and being totally muddy, I'll come up and Kay goes, you take off all those clothes before you get to come in the house. You're not bringing those filthy clothes in my house. Now, I think this is totally unreasonable. Okay. But she doesn't want me tracking across the carpet manure. I don't know why, okay? And so she says, you know, you clean this up before you can meet with God. You need to take out some emotional garbage. You need to take out some spiritual garbage. Need to get rid of the stuff that stinks in your life. You're not going to hear God if your mind's filled with pornography or resentment or jealousy or any other junk in your life. You can't hear God. Now, how do I take out the garbage spiritually? The Bible calls it confession. Confession simply means to agree with God, that was wrong, God. You're right, and I was wrong. When you say that, that's confession. When you look at something, you're like, Lord, it was wrong for me to say that to my kids. It was wrong for me to act that way toward those people. It was wrong. That's called confession. Confession means to speak the same. God, I just agree with you. You're right, and I'm wrong. And that's how you clean out the garbage. So I get calm, I get quiet, and I get clean. The fourth thing I need is I need to be humble. Humble. That's the fourth thing he says. He says, humbly accept the word planted in you, which can save you. Now, what does it mean to be humble? It means to say, ready to do whatever God tells me from his word. If I come with a prideful attitude, God, you tell me what you want me to do, and then I'll decide whether I'm going to do it or not. That isn't going to work. I come humbly. Now, these are the spiritual hearing aids for the first way to get God's word in your life. I receive God's word through my ears. I hear it. And I hear it by being calm and quiet and clean and humble. Now, that's a good way to get the word of God in your life. But if that's the only way, you're not growing very much because you forget 95% of what you hear within 72 hours. That's why I always encourage you to take notes, because by Wednesday you would have forgotten everything I've said, basically. So hearing is a good way to get the word of God in your life, but you forget 95% of it. So you've got to move to the deeper ways. Now, the second way to build my life on the Bible is to read it with my eyes. I receive it with my ears, but I read it with my eyes. I read the Bible. You cannot grow without reading the Bible. James chapter 1, verse 22 says this, down to verse 25. Don't merely listen to the word. In other words, you ought to listen, but don't merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves, because you're going to forget it. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word of God but doesn't do what it says is like a man who looks at his face in a mirror. Now notice this mirror analogy. He says he looks at his face, the reflection in a mirror, and after looking at himself, he goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. And that's what happens a lot of times on Sunday. You hear a message, and by the time you get to the parking lot, you've already forgotten it. He looks in a mirror, looks at himself, but then he goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But here's the opposite. The man who looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom, the Bible sets us free, and continues to do this, not forgetting what he has heard, but doing it, he will be blessed in what he does. Now, I want you to be blessed. I want you to be blessed in every area of your life. I want God's blessing on your family, on your work, on your finances, on your health. Now, the Bible says if you will do these five things, you will be blessed. So let's go back and circle them, okay? You know, we talked about the first one. He said, listen, but here he says, don't merely listen. He says, the man who looks intently, circle looks intently. That's one of the ways you get blessed. That's reading the Bible. Then he says, and continues to do this. Circle the word continue. That's reviewing the Bible. And then he says, not forgetting what he's heard. That's remembering the Bible. Circle that one, not forgetting. But doing it, that's responding to the Bible. He will be blessed in what he does. To be blessed, you gotta do all these. So we're going to look at all of them today, and we're going to cover them in more detail during 40 days in the Word. But let's look at them one at a time. First, it says the person who looks intently. What's he talking about there? He's talking about reading the Bible. But when I read it, I don't read it, speed read it. When I read the Bible, I read it and I reflect on it. I think about it. I ponder it. I look intently. And it says that the person who does this, it's like looking in a mirror. You know, many times the Bible is compared to a mirror in Scripture. The Bible compares itself to a mirror. What's the purpose of a mirror? The purpose of a mirror is to evaluate ourselves. And the Bible helps us do that. It's the mirror of God's word that helps us evaluate ourselves. Every one of you did it sometime today. When you got up this morning, at some point, most likely before you walked out the door, you paused and looked at a mirror to assess the damage from last night. And then you evaluated what needed to be changed before you walked out that door. You may have run a brush or combed through your hair, or you said, I don't have time to do that, I'm gonna put on a ball cap, or you washed your face, or maybe you took the time to put on some makeup. By the way, did you know that the first Queen Elizabeth, during Shakespeare time, that as she got older, that she lost her beauty? She had all of the mirrors removed from Buckingham Palace because she did not want to see the fact that she was growing older. Now, there are two ways to look at a mirror. You can glance at a mirror or you can gaze at a mirror. Glance at a mirror is, anybody remember Happy Days, that show Happy Days? Remember Fonzie? He'd walk past a mirror and he'd stop and he'd lean back and go, eh. He didn't need to do anything because he was pure perfection. He didn't have to, comb his hair or anything. He would glance. Now, you don't want to do that with this mirror. You can't just glance at the Word of God. That's a quick, I'm rushed, Lord, I've got 2 minutes. I'm gonna look at it real quick and then leave. No, glancing at the mirror of God's Word isn't gonna help you change. You've gotta gaze at it. You've gotta gaze intently. You look at the details. God wants us not to glance at His Word, but to gaze at His Word, to look intently.
This is Pastor Rick's Daily Hope. We're so happy that you've chosen to study along with us today. If God has put someone on your mind, or if you've been encouraged while listening to this episode, would you share it? And be sure to sign up for Rick's free daily email devotional at PastorRick.com. Rick will be back in just a moment, but first, we have some really exciting news. Generous friends of Daily Hope have offered a $50,000 matching grant. That means whatever amount you give to help share the hope of Jesus worldwide will be matched, up to $50,000. So $25 becomes $50, $100 becomes $200, and $500 becomes $1,000. Whatever amount you give will be doubled by the grant. But don't wait, because this opportunity will be gone at the end of this month. And we'll miss out on any amount left over from the grant if not matched. Here's Rick to tell you more.
I started Daily Hope so I could spread the good news about Jesus, not just across America, but all around the world. And we want people to know that God's Word is filled with hope and truth. And the power that we need to follow Him every day is available to every single one. You know as well as I do that the Word of God changes lives. It's alive, it's active, and it breathes new life and new love into all of our lives. So wherever you listen to this, whether you listen on the website, whether you listen on a radio station, or whether you listen through a podcast, you're a part of the Daily Hope family, and I need your help. We could not do this without your support. Now, I don't take any funds from this broadcast. We don't have any giant million-dollar donor who's giving big gifts to this. It comes from donations from listeners like you. We're 100% listener-funded. Would you continue to pray for this broadcast, and would you continue to support us? And write to me. Let me hear from you. I absolutely love reading the stories that are sent to me. So write me, pray for me, and support this ministry. And God will bless it, and God will bless you, and we'll get to heaven, and we'll thank God for all the people going to be in heaven because you cared.
When you give a gift to Daily Hope, you're helping share the hope of Jesus with people everywhere. And this month, your gift will be doubled by the $50,000 matching grant. Go to PastorRick.com or text the word DAILY to 800-600-5004, and we'll send you Pastor Rick's 40 Days in the Word study kit to say thanks. Again, that's PastorRick.com or just text the word DAILY to 800-600-5004. Please be sure to join us again next time as we look into God's Word for our daily hope. This program is sponsored by Daily Hope Ministries and your generous financial support.